Our scripture passage today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20, as we celebrate this Christ the King Sunday. Listen for the word of the Lord. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance in the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ the King Sunday, with its images of the kingdom of God, the heaven at the end of time, it shows us the goal towards which we are heading. And therefore, it helps us to come to understand how we might reorient ourselves in the here and now. And that is usually put in terms of the sinfulness of creation, which basically just means this: when you take something good and you elevate it into a god and pretend like that's going to save you. But what ends up happening is when we turn goods into gods, we're practicing idolatry, and it ends up being destructive, not beneficial. Money is a good thing, but when we think money is going to save us, it will end up being destructive. Our family relations, our country, anything that you can think of that you think of as a good thing, when it's elevated too high, when it's turned into a god, it can end up being destructive. We need to get our heads right in order to see who we are and where we are. Dorothy Zola, a German theologian, knew a man who lived nearby to her. This man had a house. The house was everything to him. And when some kids went past one day with some bicycles and scraped the paint, his vitriol was just out of control. The house is all he had, he said. And Dorothy Zola reflected on his life and said he'd really lost his soul. He was spiritually dead because something that was good had been turned into a god, and he'd cut off relations with everything else. When we put things out of proportion, out of their place, it puts us out of touch with reality. We come before God to come to understand how we fit. Of course, life lives in patterns. We need to learn how to do what needs to be done and where to stand and how to speak and how to look and all those things that make up social existence. But if we put them out of place, then we turn even our own self into a false god. Colossae was a cosmopolitan city. There were all sorts of diverse groups that lived there. Paul knew about all these different groups, and each group had its own ways of thinking, and he saw how many people turned their goods into gods. Paul held that this was being held captive by the flesh, a natural selfishness, a pridefulness. Pridefulness where the leaders think that they are the only way. They become puffed up. False prophets, unregenerate, Paul says, unnaturally selfish, characterized by being boasty and haughty and exclusivist in spirit. congratulating themselves and a favored few, and making a regime of restrictions that promise a false security. These were people who worshiped the stars, who tried to orient their lives based on what the stars were doing, because they felt if they did that dance with the stars, if they just followed the rules just right, then everything would be fine. But by holding everything right, there were all sorts of things that they cut themselves off from, all sorts of people that they cut themselves off from. They had all sorts of ascetic practices that they said that people should not do. Do not handle, do not touch, do not taste was the watchword of this civilization. I always remember the story of my friend Jerry Schenck, who was Mennonite. He went to a wedding, and his aunt was there, and she saw him holding a glass of wine, and she shook her bony finger at him and said, "The Bible says, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste." So he went up and looked that passage up in Colossians and found out in the broader context what it said was, beware of those who say, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste. You know, there's all sorts of ways where we cut ourselves off, where we think, our way is the only way, and anybody who does something different is therefore somehow corrupt. So Paul comes and talks about Jesus Christ and says, in him all things were made, and for him all things were made. And therefore, we open ourselves up to the world. We don't close ourselves off from it. So if your teachers challenge you, learn from them, because all things are made in Christ. And if your work frustrates you, discern from it, because all things are made in Christ. And if there's people that dislike you, grow from it, because all people are made in Christ. And if difficulties take a long time to resolve, grow strong from it, because all things are made in Christ. And that endurance comes from that strengthening of challenge. And if your new phone frustrates you, take a class in it, okay? And if your new job seems to be above you, rise above it. And if your new relationship's at a standstill, discern from it, because God is teaching you there. And if your friends gather together and complain about their bodies getting old and breaking down, I call it organ practice, then learn from it. Grow wise from it. Grow compassion from it. Grow humility from it. Because all things have been created in Christ and are redeemed in him. He is before all things. And if you think something is more important than God, then it's time to learn how it just doesn't matter. And if you think someone is more important than God, then it's time to reorient your life. Remember the story of Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh, who thought his regime was so important that nothing was more important than that his empire function and function at the highest level. And so he made the Hebrews work 7 days a week. He said he couldn't spare them taking any time off for worship. And God said, Pharaoh, you and your kingdom and your legacy, you think that they are the most important thing in the world, but guess what? They really don't exist at all. And pretty soon they didn't. Pharaoh, for all of his domination and hatred and oppression and racism, it all washed away in the sea. Jericho was a city that in the Old Testament was a people that they thought that their way of life was the perfect way of life, and they weren't going to let anyone break into it, so they built a wall around themselves to keep themselves safe. It was the best wall in the world to keep those Hebrews out. You know what the word Hebrew means? It means riffraff, okay? Because the Hebrews kept welcoming people in as they journeyed around for these 40 years in the wilderness. All the riffraff came and they found a safe place with the Hebrews. Well, the Hebrews came to Jericho and they wanted to keep the riffraff out. But what was it that brought Jericho down? It was the horn section in the musicians that brought Jericho down, right? A little bit of music in faith brings the walls tumbling down. Christ created all things, is in all things, is before all things. And if he's not in your things, then whatever walls we build up to keep the riffraff out are going to come crumbling down. So if another culture threatens you, open your mind. And if another race makes you fearful, open your arms. And if another way of living makes you hate, open your heart. And if another way of thinking closes the world off, open up your mouth and tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed all things and who makes all people and who makes all the world new. And then start living in that new world, the world created and redeemed by Jesus Christ, and participate in what is truly real. Christ is the one who brings us into an awareness of what matters. He is the creator, the reconciler. And in the Bible, time after time, it is a cosmic image because they want to make absolutely clear it's not about one small type of people or culture. Christ created all things. He was before all things. He's in all things. He engineered our coming into being. And in his resurrection, he redeems us. And if we think that his redeeming work is without cost, then look again at the cross, or look again at the table that is set before us today, which is this image of being broken and of blood being shared, but of that blood become life-giving, because it is this image of love being shared without thought of the self. The sufferings of Christ were real, and the sufferings of Christ set us free because we learn about love. Love at the heart of things. His sufferings were real, and those who are called by God to continue to walk the Christian path must also expect to tread that path of tribulation, of giving, of opening of ourselves, and sharing in the fullness of life as Christ has shown us. Paul was in prison, but in prison he was free. Because he was free to love no matter where he was, because Christ had created all things. And that situation was a place where he found that he could practice the freedom to love. How free are we? How free are we to practice that love? For Paul, theology was a matter of life and death, because theology showed you how you could really live. It has to do with how we understand life and understand human destiny. If we think we're under the power of some system, then we've been robbed of our Christian liberty, tyrannized by the powers of bad faith and bad religion, tyrannized to live in the shadows and the fear of the half-light and uncertainty. Paul does not mince words. What's at stake is vital and precious. Powers of the systems and the world around us have the power to tyrannize human life. And the power of Christ breaks the power of that tyranny, and it sets us free to live, to walk, to live fully in the light that Christ gives to us. I like the story of a great opera singer of the last century, Marian Anderson. Marian Anderson was a world-famous opera singer. She couldn't get too much of things going because she was African-American, and she lived in the U.S., so she went to Europe and developed this world-renowned reputation, then came back to the U.S. and traveled all over singing here. It was in the 1930s. She went to Princeton University, that great Presbyterian school, but she was allowed to sing at Princeton, but she was denied lodging in Princeton because of her race. But Christ is in all things, so something good came of that. She made a friend. Albert Einstein invited her to stay with him, and they became lifelong friends. She was invited to sing at Washington, D.C., and the plans were for her to sing before about 1,000 people in Constitution Hall, but the Daughters of the American Revolution would not allow her to sing before 1,000 people in Constitution Hall because of her race. But Christ is in all things. So instead of singing before 1,000 people, she sang before 75,000 people at the Lincoln Memorial. Christ is in all things. One last Marian Anderson story. She was invited to Hastings, Nebraska, to sing as part of a fundraising campaign for a new music building. They would allow her to sing, but they would not allow her to stay at the hotel in Hastings, Nebraska, because of her race. The president of a local manufacturing company and his wife invited her into their home. That's where she stayed. And when Marian Anderson finished singing, she took her fee and donated it to Hastings College for the new music building. Remember that freedom. Remember that freedom when you walk past Fir Hall. All things are in Christ. There's a quality of Christian living that happens when we are in Christ and unencumbered by the powers that dominate us in the culture around us, because we are set free to live in the love that Christ has shown us, to walk in the light as children of the light who have inherited the light. So never compromise your freedom to love, because it is the gift that God has given to you and given to us as a new humanity. And Christ called the church into being. Christ called the church into being as his body to be a people who could practice this love, practice living as people together, people dedicated to the ways of love and experimenting what that means, so that the love can be enhanced and inspired and received and multiplied and healed and graced and empowered. That's what the church is all about, learning to humble ourselves, to live together in love, to practice dying to sin and self and living this new life, living in ways that pay attention to others, that pay attention to the world, so that Christ can be felt as a body of people living in the world. They called it koinonia, membership. And what it meant was that we are members of the same body, and we get to feel what it means to be part of another human life, of many human lives, and we get to feel the power of our love being expressed as people together. It's a life, it's a lifestyle, it's a community, it's koinonia. It's world-affirming, it's world-expanding, it's joyful. And Paul expressed his sense of gratitude, a deep gratitude to God that he'd been taught this true word, of people building their lives on Christ, of the root of the word of Christ taking root in the soil of divine truth and bearing the fruit of Christian living, so that people could see what matters in life, what matters most. May we continue that world-affirming, world-expanding, joyful living. May we live in the light of Jesus Christ, who called us into being, who redeems us all, who holds all things together, who holds all people together. May we live in that reality and share the joy. Amen.